Hello everyone and welcome to the Weekly Freestyle with myself, Tom Dean. I'm not currently joined by my co-host, Alex Sutton. There's something we've both been working on for a long, long time. A big project, a big giveaway actually, that we've been building to for a number of weeks. And today, we're very, very excited that we can finally announce that Alex Sutton will be joining me in this episode in something that we've both been very excited about seeing. So Alex, if you'd like to come on in and show the people what they've been building up to.
Tom, what do you think?
You look great. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me this morning. So for those who aren't watching the clip on YouTube or possibly on Instagram, I'm actually dressed in what can only be described as a wonderful chicken suit. Bright yellow. It's got pockets. It's got
Why
a head.
Has it got pockets?
Just in case I need to carry my chicken food around. It's actually dry as well, which is a slight surprise because it was dripping wet a week ago.
It was. So yes, absolutely. Alex is dressed head to toe in a full chicken suit that I wore last week when I did a swimming race against Spencer Matthews, the podcaster and ultramarathon runner and all-round great guy. And we did a race and I had to wear that very chicken suit. And I tell you what, once you dive in, you don't realize how heavy that thing is. For people who can't see, Sutch, would you mind getting your feet up on the table if that's okay? So as you can see here, we've got full kind of chicken feet here. And this is the bit that really got me, actually, because the amount of water, you know, that these things hold onto, you can't kick. It's absolutely impossible. I think it suits you.
I actually think that I'm going to wear this more regularly. I'm going to add it to my wardrobe. The only slight issue dangles over my head.
Yeah.
But as I say, there's a lot you can do in this. You can swim in it. We might grab a coffee later. I'll probably just
walk around town maybe. You know, once we do, you know, if we get to the point where we do some appearances, I'm sure this is going to become a real staple of your stage performance, which is quite exciting. So no, the chicken suit looks great. I think yellow suits you for sure. But you know what? I'd love to see you try and do a 50 meter freestyle in it because it's so tough.
Yeah.
So tough. I'm glad it's dried out fully.
Yeah. While we catch up, I'm going to keep it on. It may not stay on the whole episode. But while we're in quite a serious mood, how's your week been? How's training progressing? Any updates for us from a swimming side of things?
Yeah. So the week just gone. So it's Monday today. Last week was my first week doing 10 swim sessions in 1 week in a year, actually.
Wow.
And I'd forgotten actually how tough doing 10 swims really is. So I was doing, I think, just shy of 60,000 meters, 55K for the week with my weekly volume. So it's about 5,500 meters a session. But obviously some sessions are recovery. So your meterage is reduced, which means some 6,500, nearly 7,000 meters.
Wow.
I got to Saturday morning. I won't lie. I was completely wiped out. I was supposed to go into town and get a new suit for a wedding I've got this year and a different wedding this summer. And I was absolutely conked. So I just slept for most of the day to recover. How on earth I did that every week for the last 7 years, I don't quite know. It's tough. It takes out of you and you have to eat a lot as well.
Yeah. Were there, within that sort of 10 tough sessions, were there any that kind of stuck out this week that were really tough, or was it kind of more just the continued build back to back to back and with your body not being quite used to it?
Yeah, I think the continued build is what definitely got me. The thing is, I'd be in a pool and I'd be like, I literally just got out of the pool.
Yeah.
You know, literally a few hours ago and I'm back in already. It's just wild. Like, it just comes around so quick. Like, I know it's my job and stuff, but when you're doing two-hour sessions in a day, you get in the afternoon, you dive in at 3 PM, I'm like, I literally just got out at 10 AM this morning and it feels like there was no time in between. One stood out to me. I did a medley set. So if people who don't know, medley is all four strokes in one. And it was, you had to do 200 meters of medley. So 50 fly, 50 back, 50 breast, 50 freestyle. And every round, there was stuff kind of either side of it. And then every round, you would rotate which 50 you had to do fast. So the first round, you had to do basically an all-out fly 50 and then straight into 150 meters, backstroke, breaststroke, freestyle. The second round, the backstroke was the fast one, breaststroke, freestyle, so on. That's so tough because on the second one especially, you have to do a 50 fly straight into a max effort 50 backstroke. And after that, you have to do a back to breast turn in the full breaststroke underwater phase.
Yeah.
Oh my days. You feel like your lungs are burning and you pop up on that first stroke of breaststroke and you're like, it's really quite tough. So that was a session that kind of stood out to me as one of the tough ones.
Yeah, I know how that feels and maybe we'll get into it. But just going back to the episode we recorded last week, if you've not listened, go and have a listen to that. But we were talking about turns and technicals and the officiating side of things, were your turns all good in that session, even when you're under a lot of stress?
Yeah, so my turns were quite good, I think. It's actually something I'm trying to work on, obviously not just because I got deked in that one competition that we'll talk about anymore, but I'd watched a video of me racing in London on the 200 medley, and I'm just getting killed off the walls.
Like, really?
My swim speed's quite good, but I was so long into my fly to backstroke turn, I was long going round, so I'm really trying to judge it a lot better. And I think there are easy gains to be made there. So it's something I'm definitely working on.
When you say you're long into the turn, do you mean just the time you're spending basically rotating on the wall?
No, so like specifically, I do my last butterfly stroke, and instead of landing straight on the wall, I'm going and I'm like gliding and gliding and gliding and gliding and then touching the wall. So it's just a slight misjudgment of my strokes that needs to get a bit better.
Yeah, that is, yeah, I mean, that must be technically quite tough, especially if you've, I guess if you picked up a habit over decades of racing.
Yeah.
But talking about decades of racing and technical ability, I've actually recently signed and joined Maidenhead Marlins. So I actually pushed four sessions last week.
Yeah.
One was only a 15-minute dip.
But one of them was 3.5?
One was 3.5.
3.5K. For people who don't know, that takes...
3,500 meters.
Over an hour?
Oh, and 90 minutes.
90 minutes. Seriously.
Sweet, sweet minutes in the pool.
So that's a massive signing for Maidenhead Marlins Swimming Club. You know, and I think that's just going to do wonders for us as a club. You know, some other sports clubs in Maidenhead are maybe struggling a little bit in the last season. Not to name any names, but it's great to see that the swimming club's really kind of making leaps and bounds with big signings this summer. It's super exciting, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a big signing announcement coming soon. Contracts, pen will be put to paper, and contracts will get drawn up. So, you know, for the head coach, Paul Lloyd, it's massive bringing someone like yourself on board. Transfer fee was, what, 10 million, I think, something like that?
Yeah, plus add-ons.
Yeah, it's PB bonuses, right?
Yeah.
PB bonuses.
Yeah, so they shouldn't be hard to beat. Just turn up.
Just turn up.
Walk through
another
the door.
One, fine. It's super exciting. So are you, yeah, this is kind of the start of your official...
Well,
you used to swim, obviously, before you went to school and stuff like that a bit of ladder swimming in the public lanes, but this is kind of the first official signing for a club.
This is the first official setup. And I think it could create a nice narrative for us because... I think I want you to influence kind of the route I take. Mm-hmm. Which races should I be doing? Should I be doing a race? Should I be working on different strokes? And I think maybe if people are in a similar position, but even also if they are in public lane pools, technical things I can be working on to make those those quick adjustments. And one thing as well, you know, when you stay in the pool for a long time and your fingers go, do you ever get that still?
I don't,
because I was after the hour and a half, my fingers they're basically not there.
I don't get that because people ask me that when they go like. Prunes,
yeah,
and get all wrinkly. I don't really get that, to be honest. I think I've just, you know, I'm in the water 4 hours a day, so I guess not. I guess I've evolved, you know. So I just
you're way up the ladder compared to me.
A few evolutionary steps ahead.
I've got time, but no, really looking forward to that, and I'm sure we can, yeah, bring some extra content to the pod. Cool. So, topic of the week this week, Tom, you had a very exciting opportunity, and actually the podcast is out now. I believe you're joined by Spencer Matthews in Maidenhead, where else, to be joined on, I think it's the Untapped podcast, where you discussed all things swimming, Spencer Matthews, performance. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that experience?
So for those of you who don't know, Spencer Matthews is a podcaster. He was a TV kind of personality for a while, and then he started doing all these ultra runs. And he did 30 marathons, I think, in 30 days in the desert, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, he's currently training for 7 Ironmans on 7 continents over the course of 4 weeks, I believe, which is insane. It's an incredible feat. And he came to me to talk about, like you said, swimming, my training, my journey, everything like that. It was really, really great. And he's a really, really interesting guy. He goes at like 100 miles an hour when he's talking. And he had like 6 double espressos while we were there at the,
really?
At Braywick Leisure Centre in Maidenhead. Absolutely loves a double espresso. But yeah, he had a great story, a really interesting journey. And I think the podcast, yeah, like you said, it's called Untapped. It's out today. I'm super excited for people to listen to it.
Yeah, and I've not listened to it yet because we're recording this quite early on Monday and the podcast has only just been released. So I've seen a few clips, and also I was actually there in person. I didn't quite get a chance to speak to Spencer while he was there. You guys were just too busy recording. But one thing we did see, and Tara saw it as well, our producer, was actually head-to-head races, mm-hmm. which I think is a really cool thing, especially within a swimming sense, to actually see kind of the levels, and to not everyone will sort of be able to relate to it and actually get in the pool, but actually to see you race head to head was pretty cool thing to do, because Spencer's a great athlete, he's a good swimmer, but you guys, I think you had a couple of head to head races and one included you in the chicken suit. How were they?
So I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. Spencer's a good swimmer, he's a solid swimmer. Just out of interest, what's your 50 freestyle personal best, would you say, from a dive?
Well, I went 116 over 100 from a dive.
Okay, all right. So I wouldn't say you're a million miles
35.
Off. Okay, so you're not a million miles off. I've seen you push a 35, so I think you could dive a low 30. So a solid swimmer like yourself. You know, we did a head-to-head, and we always joke, you know, when you see the Olympics, like a running race or a swimming race, everyone's kind of pretty similar times.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's just one wave, so you don't really get a perspective on the kind of speed. And it's good when you go against someone who's a decent swimmer but not a professional swimmer, and you kind of understand actually the different levels in speed slightly. For example, like I imagine if, you know, you ran with a normal level runner, you'd really see the difference. But when I go and watch you do, you know, your cross country, your 5Ks and stuff like that, you have a lot of lads in similar kind of similar time frame. So that was a lot of fun. I'd love people to go and watch these videos because the races are really, really good fun. But like I said, when I did that chicken suit race, yeah, I won't give it away, but it's so tough to swim in that thing because of how much it weighs you down. But look, it was a great laugh. We had a really, really good time. I think Spencer's someone who really appreciates kind of athleticism and people who are, you know, worked on their craft. Like, he interviewed Mo Farah, he interviewed Ben Stokes, you know, sports people have really worked to become, you know, try to become top in their game, you know, to the point where we even spoke about yourself and your 5K time and those kind of runs. And, you know, his eyes just lit up when we started to talk about those kind of splits. But yeah, look, I think what he's doing is incredible. He asked some great questions. We went into a few topics and really delved into them. I would love people to go out and listen to that pod.
Yeah, and talking of that race, I've actually got it in front of me here. Do you want to just talk me through? I think this is the head-to-head. Mm-hmm. Maybe kind of how you rated your performance on the day.
So has this been released?
Yeah, it's out now.
So I'm kind of swinging a little bit there, but so they've done
Spencer's
a drone
not in
shot
yet.
They've done a drone shot, and I really want to make sure I work the underwater off the wall there. So it's a 50 meter race, short course. So it's a 25 meter pool. So we did two laps. And then I got my hand on the wall, and Spencer's kind of closing.
He's coming. He's coming.
Yeah, I've finished. He's passing the flags now. He's got about 5 meters to go. He really went for it. So he was swinging.
Do you know what time he went?
Yeah. So he went about 32 seconds.
That's actually really impressive.
It's not bad at all. And thing is, I spoke to him and I was like, look, there are a few things you could. He was like, can you give me some tips? I was like, well, just tighten up your streamlining off the start and the wall and stuff like that. It's like, make sure you breathe enough because you're taking so many strokes that you're going to just tie up otherwise. And he was like, and I said, look, I think you could break 30. And he was like, I've got to break 30. That was like a real focus for him then. So he's got that drive and he's super competitive. That race was a lot of fun. I did turn it on a bit, to be fair.
Yeah, if he's swimming around those times, that's impressive. Like that's serious swimming.
Yeah,
completely. Yeah. I mean, if he stick, maybe we'll have to see how he's got on getting back in the pool to do a 50.
Yeah, well, he said, he was like, oh, we should do a training session together. So hopefully we can. And I was speaking to him about his Ironman. I was like, look, swimming is just technical work. You can run. I know you can. You've run all those marathons, that'd be okay. And then it's just time in the saddle, really. Because that's the biggest chunk of it. So I think he'll be okay. I think the logistics of a challenge like that is going to be quite tough.
Yeah, we'll find a way. And one thing I was going to say is, do you see a lot of similarities between someone like yourself and him? I know obviously he's got sort of business ventures as well as his kind of stuff to do with his athleticism, but also I'm not saying this is where the similarities lie, but he's changed his life around from maybe being someone who has been out and, you know, drinking, whatever. And the point I'm making here is he's changed himself from always going on nights out, having that slight addictive personality, to maybe you know, alcohol. Mm. But now he's almost flipped that, and you'll know better than me having the conversation, but now he's put that into his performance and whatever else he's doing. Do you see any similarities there at all?
Well, what he spoke quite openly about actually is how, yeah, he has gone on kind of that journey where he'd go out and he said he'd drink a lot and stuff like that, and he's really made that shift. What I find quite interesting though is a lot of people who I know, who I went to university with, who I maybe grew up with, who I swam with, who, you know, would, like most young people, go on loads of nights out and kind of live that lifestyle, which is absolutely fine, you know, like, you know, you and I like going out just as much as anyone else. But what they often find is most rewarding is building up towards running, I don't know, the Hackney Half Marathon or something. Yeah, like
great event. Sells out in minutes, I've heard.
And the amount of line bikes at that event is insane. But that's beside the point. You know, or building up to something, the London Marathon, or doing a Tough Mudder, or maybe entering a triathlon or something like that. So I think that's really what gives people a lot of drive and a lot of passion. I think that's why maybe as people get older, they enter, you know, these kind of challenges. And I think having a goal to build towards and keeping fit and healthy, that's like a longer term feeling of happiness and fulfillment and stuff like that. And look, I'm not sitting here saying don't go out and have a good time. Like I said, you know, it's a lot of fun. But I think seeing someone like him, who's actually got to a point where he's like, actually, I take a lot more enjoyment and a lot more fulfillment from keeping physically fit and healthy. I actually saw him on a podcast and he did an interview and he said, no one has ever in the history of drinking woken up and said, oh, I wish I drank more last night.
Yeah.
It's always, I wish I drank less, or I wish I hadn't drank and stuff like that. And which is a great point. And I think, you know, by the sounds of it, he's someone that kind of really went for it. You know, but look at the world he was in the industry he was in, you know, a TV personality. I think he was on Made in Chelsea, the TV show. You know, I think the socializing side of it is a big part of it. You know, and even when I had my time off after the Olympics, I think we spoke about this, but like, because I wasn't training and I was like, well, I can go out and if I want to have, you know, a Guinness or something or a late night or whatever, then I can. What I realized actually how much socializing in the UK and in kind of our age category, especially, revolves around drinking. You know, it's either, oh, we'll meet up, we'll go for a drink after work. Let's go to the pub this weekend. You know, let's go for a meal and you have some drinks and stuff like that. And it's just the way it is. So it's actually quite, you know, I think I'm slightly blessed with my sport.
Yeah.
Because it's like, actually, I can't go out, you know, because I'm, and I've probably, well, I know I will have, you know, drank a lot less and stayed out late a lot less than I would have if I didn't have my sport to kind of be the reason and the driver to not do that.
Yeah. And I think that's probably something to be said, and why it's a huge benefit for kind of training groups and squads at whatever level that you're competing at. I mean, even just in a swimming sense, if you're going down, if you're meeting a couple of times a week, if you didn't do the sport, then you wouldn't. It's a lot. I find when I'm trying to make plans with friends, if I'm not doing it in a, like, because I train with them or in a different context, it can be tougher, because you've got to make the extra commitment and effort to go and see someone. Whereas if you see them three times a week anyway, because you run with them.
Yeah.
That's kind of a box ticked in a way.
Genuinely. Also, I know you always see these studies, the amount of drinking and the percentage of the young people that drinking is going down. I think that's why so many young people, all jokes aside, and I know people laugh about this.
Guys, no laughing right now.
But this is a serious topic. This is why people are getting into golf. Genuinely, so many young people are getting into golf. And I know it's like, oh, it's, you know, really kind of posh sport and stuff like that. But like, you know, we've got mates and stuff. Like, and if you want to meet up and do something that doesn't involve going to the pub,
yeah,
you know, my mate, like, we've got friends who are terrible at golf. You know, I'm not very good at golf. Like, the lads I play with aren't. But it's just, it's a good way to meet up, spend time with your friends that doesn't involve sitting and just having pints. And I'm not saying, like, that's not a lot of fun. But, you know, it's like, if you're doing stuff regular, like, doing that, it's just a good opportunity, you know, because, you know, like, if we meet up with our mates, we're not going to go to the cinema or something, you know, or go for a long walk or something. But if you just want to take a few clubs out and go and whack balls at the range or go around a, you know, a course, like, I think it's good. I don't think it's a bad alternative at all to sitting down at the pub.
Yeah. Saying that, a night out at the Everyman Theatre, cinema. Is it theatre or is it a cinema?
It's interesting.
I actually went for my first outing to an Everyman last week.
With your fiance, though, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they've got, exactly, so they've got
what's
sofas.
What's wrong with that?
Well, no, that's what they're made for. They've got sofas for two people. Okay. Imagine if, like, 11 of us lads rocked up.
Really big sofa.
It's like when we go on holiday and you have to really pick who you want to share a bed with. Because there's certain characters, not to name any names, that you'd rather not share a room with.
Yeah, true.
You know, snorers and loud sleepers and stuff. So it'd be the same in the Everyman cinema. You really want to get a good pairing on one of those sofas.
You do. I guess the other problem is you can't... I mean, Mission Impossible, great film. Mm. You know, it's got a lot of history to it. Tom Cruise, he does his stunts himself. It's 3 hours.
That's wild. So just a side note, and we'll have to fact check this. We're kind of going off topic a bit. The budget for that film was $400 million, right?
Wow.
A third of it went on his salary, $120 million was how much they paid.
Who
Tom
signed
Cruise.
Off the budget?
Honest to God. It's a bit like you're signing for Maiden Marlin, isn't
true.
It?
It's true. I mean, him million. Signing the contract, how much does that cost?
What do you mean?
Because of his time, if he's getting paid that amount, you know, just signing the pen. You know,
oh, yeah.
Time.
Well, I'll tell you, he's laughing. It's his agent as well, isn't it?
But yeah, good film. Anyway, sorry. Good film nonetheless. I mean, you know, he's built up a dynasty.
Yeah, exactly. So no, good on him. Interesting bloke, Scientologist, isn't he?
I wouldn't know. What does that mean?
It's that weird kind of cult religion, I think, in America, where Louis Theroux did a documentary on it.
I think I have seen that, actually.
It's a little bit strange, but yeah. No, good on him. Some good bunts. It's a lot of Everyman tickets you can buy. So probably only about three.
the amount they learners. Cost. Yeah, but you do get the bar. I'd never been before. So you go to the bar. Although I did bring a drink myself, which wasn't great.
Everyman rookie era.
Which I thought that was going to be the big no-no. But then about halfway through, I'd had my IPA, only a 330 can. And I was like, phew, I think I'm through it here. And then I saw one of the supervisors coming up the stairs. I was like, oh no, they've seen me.
Yeah.
So anyway, I put the IPA to the side. Yeah, so it could be mine or it could be the person next to me. But then she goes, sorry, can you set your feet down?
Ooh.
So I'd actually been done for something I hadn't considered.
So when the ticket officers on GWR trains to get your feet off the seats. I'll tell you what cracks me up. Did you ever go to the Odeon or cinema when you were younger?
Odeon Lux in Maidenhead.
Yeah, Odeon Lux Maidenhead. And I'd go to the Tesco's Express and get some sweets before I went in. And I would be like, hide them under my jacket. And I was so terrified of getting caught that I was like, probably life in prison. That's probably me done. And I was like, this is like the biggest crime I'd ever committed.
This
and
is
I was
crazy.
Like, as if the like Odeon staff are going to be, who are probably not that much older than us.
No,
like,
when you're probably doing the same thing.
I was so petrified of kind of, you know, having to call my mum from the jail cell. And go, yeah, mum, I messed up. I'm going down and getting led out the Odeon Lux in cuffs. Because I've got some pick and mix under my jacket.
But is there a joke? Because you'll be scrambling all those squashies.
Yeah, so he's really laughing.
Oh, dear.
So
maybe we should do an episode on when we've just been the right side of the law.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've had a fair few brushes.
Do you think that would be a legal issue, bringing food into an Odeon, though?
You don't think you get arrested, but you could get escorted off the premises, I imagine. Mm. You know,
if you've got any thoughts on, you know, legalities around that, we have had questions around AirPods and theft.
Yeah.
Where's the line with Odeons and Everyman?
Yeah. Right now, we're going to wrap up with our weekly freestyle section. Alex, what have we got in store this week?
Well, as always with our weekly freestyle section, we like to keep it to 5 minutes. We try our best. Sometimes it's a quiz, sometimes it's a game, sometimes it's an off-topic chat. But this is very much on topic. And it's actually shouting out a little it's very large actually, a docu-series done by Steve Buckley from Pool Boy, established in 2000, Tom.
Wow. You know, I was established in 2000.
Two things you and Steve Buckley have in common is that you're both established. No, Steve wasn't established in 2000.
Pool Boy was.
But I watched two parts to it. Mm. Your lovely face turned up in the second part. Mm-hmm. But for those who don't know, this is a docuseries done by Steve at Pool Boy. And I think it's called 4x2. And I think there are three episodes, four.
I think so.
But the premise of it is it takes you through the history of the 4x200 relay.
Yep.
Freestyle relay. Just the men's side at this point. But you'll know better than me. It told me so much more about the history of it with guys like Robbie Rennick and co, and basically telling us the story and how it's leading up to the situation now, and actually the successes we've had that I didn't know about.
I'd really recommend everyone goes and watches it. So the Instagram page is called Pool Boy. The YouTube page is called Pool Boy Podcast. You can search it up. And like Alex said, it goes through the history of the 4x200 meter freestyle relay, every world championships and every Olympic Games that's happened since, I think, 2014 or 2015. So our 4x2 relay, we're world champions and we're kind of defending Olympic champions from Tokyo and Paris. But this podcast series goes, like Alex said, into all the previous members of the team, the people who swam the heats a few years back, the people that I kind of grew up watching.
Do you want to shout some names out there?
Yeah, well, you've got, you know, you do interview Robbie Rennick, Stephen Milne, obviously, you know, big hitters like Jimmy Guy and Duncan Scott, who have been staples of our relay for years and years. But then you also get, you know, Cam Curl, Kieran Bird, Max and Joe Litchfield, the brothers, Jack McMillan. You know, you get some great names who have all played their role in this relay. Honestly, I sent a text to Luke Guy, who's James Guy's little brother.
One of our close friends.
Close friends and friend of the pod. I sent him the link for this video and I said, I'm so fired up watching this. I was watching it in the car, I was like, come on! I was on the, I had it in my earphones. I was driving back home. I was on the M4, driving back home. And I was so fired up because, you know, Jimmy Guy, who people know from the relay that I've been on, he talks about like closing down some of the other countries and like beating them and winning the world championships. Oh, Callum Jarvis, you know, who's now the assistant coach at the center that I train in. It's such a great docuseries. It provides so many perspectives. I speak about kind of my earliest experiences on the relay and think getting things quite wrong.
That was, and this is what I found so interesting, because you only tend to remember certain things, and I kind of forgot, didn't realize about that that when you were young in the team. And it's so interesting hearing about times when things maybe didn't go right, but the ability for someone like Duncan Scott or yourself or anyone to say, right, I didn't have a great swim there. Or I think it was more when Duncan and Jimmy were saying, and Tom Dean was sort of this new asset to the team. And they're like, right, he's still learning his craft. And then, you know, as you approach the Olympics, how things just went from sort of here to here, but all in the context of the 4x2 team is one of Britain's strongest assets.
Yeah, completely. And I love it. I find it so interesting because I've never, the thing is with the Brits, like, I feel like Americans, they really kind of, they get very emotional and like, yeah, bro, you know, tell me all about that race and stuff. And they're like, oh man, it was amazing. You know, they proper go in on it. You know, I feel like with the Brits, it's kind of like, well, you know, what happened and you go back and you maybe reflect, you know, on your own race and what you could maybe have done better or what didn't go maybe so well. But I never speak to these lads about the races. I've never spoken to Jimmy about the Guangzhou 2019 World Championship 4x2 final. It just doesn't happen, you know. I've never spoken to any of these boys about it, you know. And to sit down and hear how the race went from their perspective, and I'm like, God, yeah, that's absolutely right. I remember that and hearing how they viewed it, you know. And I talk about, you know, Duncan, close friend of mine, on the Olympic final 4x2 in Tokyo, watching him do this incredible fourth leg to the relay and bringing home, you know, the Olympic gold and nearly getting the world record. I wasn't even thinking about the world record when I did that race, but Duncan said he touched the ball and he turned around and he almost had it, and he was like, you know, there's kind of joy but slight maybe frustration. I never even thought about that. So hearing that perspective, I find so interesting as someone who was actually there and experienced it but still learning about it.
Yeah, so yeah, as we say, go and watch it. I think more parts are coming. Mm-hmm. Something like that, the BBC should snap that up before...
It's wild that they don't.
Before the champs this year.
Oh, God, yeah. 100%.
That should be on iPlayer. If that's not an iPlayer by midday today,
yeah,
someone's going to know about it.
You've got an hour and 56 minutes. That's to the Director General of the BBC.
Tim Davies still?
It might be. I think so. Got a bit of hot water. Always seems to be in hot water, doesn't he?
Like he's in a jacuzzi constantly. Anyway, on that note, thank you, Tom and Tara, and for everyone for listening and possibly watching along. This has been great fun, and we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.